When you take it down to the basics, war and the route to victory involves, believe it or not, really three steps. Name the enemy, locate the enemy, defeat and destroy the enemy. Now, there are many who believe that the Obama administration does more than just fail on this path. The belief is Obama refuses to even take that first step by naming the enemy, in this case, radical Islam. My next guest is someone who has seen firsthand and deep inside our national security system the degree that the enemy has, in fact, been coddled and even embraced by Obama and the Hillary Clinton State Department. He reveals these details in his book, Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad. He's a former U.S. intelligence officer, currently a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, Stephen Kovlin. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also to have you here, and most importantly, for this book to come out for the people to digest and be angered by and empowered by, which sounds like a weird combination, but that is what will happen when you read Catastrophic Failure. Website for the Center for Security Policy, by the way, is centerforsecuritypolicy.org. Just as some background, Stephen, talk about what your position was and what your role was in U.S. intel.
Well, I was a reserve officer who was mobilized and brought onto the Joint Chiefs of Staff Intelligence Directorate right after 9/11. And, of course, the job of an intelligence officer is to define the enemy the way the enemy defines himself. This enemy categorically and unequivocally states that they fight jihad according to and to implement Sharia law. That is the basis of their threat doctrine. They say it over and over again. It's not my fault that they say that. So it was included in my analysis. People asked me to purge that from my analysis. I refused, so they purged me. What you said at the very beginning is almost just the cliff note of my whole book, which is it's simply this. The enemy assessed that they could defeat the United States in the war on terror, not in the field of battle over in Afghanistan or Iraq or in wherever the battles are going on right now. They assessed that they could defeat us in what we call the information battle space, by keeping us from being able to properly define them here so that then we could not target them there, here, for destruction over there or here. It's really this simple. You cannot defeat what you will not target, and you cannot have a strategy to win a war where you're not willing to define the nature of the threat in factual terms. So what have we done? Because we're not allowed to talk about Islam, we bring in psychosocial modelers to talk about leaderless jihads. We bring in anthropologists to talk about human terrain systems. We bring in political scientists to come up with models that allow you to pretend you're talking about terrorism when all you're talking about is some political scientist's theory, a theory which only exists to keep us from addressing the cause and fact, people who say they fight jihad in order to establish Islamic law and in doing so to destroy America.
And in the meantime, you have organizations like ISIS, which are now recruiting, by best estimates, in excess of 100 Americans, never mind how many Western Europeans they've indoctrinated.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, recently President Obama and the State Department has taken on the talking point that ISIS is not Islamic. And in fact, we can go back to December 2014, where the most prestigious and respected center of Sunni learning in the world, Al-Azhar, came out and said, we might not approve of what they do, but ISIS is certainly Islamic. And if it's good enough for the elites of the Islamic world that ISIS is Islamic, so is it here. But, you know, something else happened. At an international forum recently in Vienna, Austria, something called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, a forum was stood up that said, that the America is a party to, stood up and said, you know what, calling the Islamic State should be understood to be a hate crime because it creates the stereotype that some Muslims want to behead non-Muslims. And so the question was raised, are you saying the reason people call it the Islamic State is because that's what they call themselves, and they affirm that. So I asked them, are you saying that you will qualify something as a hate crime, something that is known to be true? And, of course, they said yes. And immediately, a delegate from Turkey got up and accused me of being engaging Islamophobia. So, yes, wow. Not only are we in a situation where ISIS, we know who ISIS is Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And we know that Al-Qaeda has been publishing Inspire magazine in English to be published in America to tell Al-Qaeda, and they'll put on the, they'll wear the ISIS flag when they strike, how to do it in America. So this is all there. And it's something that I think is going to start escalating to the point where the average American is just going to get up and say, what the heck is going on?
Former U.S. intelligence officer, currently senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, Stephen Coughlin, his book Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad. The Center for Security Policy on the web at centerforsecuritypolicy.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. My understanding from all these years now of talking about radical Islam, their basic platform or method is infiltrate every way that you can, lie if you need to in order to infiltrate every way that you can, and then take over once you have infiltrated. The frightening thing is, and this is something that you write about in your book, in Catastrophic Failure, the State Department and the Obama administration has technically thrown down a welcome mat for this infiltration.
Well, that's exactly true. First of all, you have the Muslim Brotherhood of America through their document called the Explanatory Memorandum, which was their strategic document written in 1991 that was entered into a federal case and it survived appeal, basically said, we are here, we're the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're here to subvert through subversion and penetration by getting American leaders to undermine America for us. And more importantly, and to bring it to current, we have an organization called the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, that most people have never heard of, but it's the second largest intergovernmental organization after the United Nations. And its mission, and it represents every Islamic country at the head of state level, so that when they have summits, it's the heads of states of all the Islamic countries, and there are 57 member states. Yes, 57. And what they did in 2005 was they came up with something called the
Was it the UN Resolution 1618?
Well, it UN Resolution 1618 in 2011, it's the 10-year program of action. The OIC came up with the 10-year program of action in 2005 to make defamation of Islam a crime in every jurisdiction and to go through the United Nations to make that work. And part of that strategy is to make it work by using, you know, neutral language. And what you have is UN Resolution 1618. Now, in July 2011, Secretary of State Clinton flew to Turkey to meet with the head of the OIC, Ekmelettin İnanoğlu, to promise to use the State Department's best efforts to pass UN Resolution 1618 that the OIC openly says is in fulfillment of their 10-year program of action. And she said, and in December 2011, the State Department did host the event where, by acclamation, the Human Rights Commission of the UN passed UN Resolution 1618. Now, she also said at that forum, and it was released in an official State Department communique, that she promised a foreign power, because the OIC represents state action, that she would use plain old-fashioned techniques of peer pressure and shaming to attack Americans who would dare to exercise their First Amendment right inside the United States to say things that they can show to be true about something having to do with Islam and jihad. And remember, we're not talking about all Muslims right now. We're talking about organizations like the Brotherhood who categorically state what their mission is. And we're showing that they published books of Sharia law, Islamic law, that state not only that they're allowed to lie, but they have a duty to lie if it advances Islam. So someone can tell you, I know people who are Muslim and they would never lie to me, and I'll say that's perfectly fine. But I know that it's the Muslim Brotherhood who gets access to our senior leaders and who is on all the talk shows, and they do say that, and they do publish books of Islamic law that they follow that say they have a duty to lie. And we can focus on that, and we can focus on the fact that there is that effort.
What Stephen writes about with Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad, normally think of the scenes from the movies we've seen countless number of times with the individuals about to face the firing squad. Someone walks up to them, gives them the last cigarette, and puts the blindfold on them. Well, when you read Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad, Americans, specifically the Obama administration, the Hillary Clinton State Department, is self-applying the blindfold and forcing it on as many people as they possibly can through ignorance, through intimidation, and through a sense of, they call it assimilation, appeasement, whatever the case may be. But when warning signs are blatantly ignored, you can look even domestically with the Fort Hood shooting. You remember that act of workplace violence in Garland, Texas, with Major Hassan. That's just the one that got the most notable attention. There's a whole series of missteps and miscommunications, wrong definitions, fearing of naming the enemy, which, again, going back to the introduction, is the foundation of success in warfare. And like it or not, again, this administration does not want and does not allow the use of the phrase war on terrorism. But the reality is that exactly is what we are in the midst of right now. In Stephen's book, Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad, details frighteningly just how much of a surrender this administration has enacted and how their actions empower the enemy. He's also, along with being a former U.S. intelligence officer, currently a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, centerforsecuritypolicy.org on the web. This is one of those must-read books, and share what you learn from it with as many people as you can, because they are the facts. And Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad. Stephen Coughlin, thanks so much for being here this morning.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for having me.